This episode of the Blackzit Global Podcast is sponsored by Blackzit Global Passport. Join aspiring Black expats, and repats, where you can build community, get resources, and gain support along your journey abroad. You're invited to join Blackzit Global Passport. Inside Passport, you'll find exclusive workshops on everything from expat taxes, financial planning, insurance, job boards, accountability check-ins, and more. You can even take Passport on the go with our app available for iOS and Android devices. Just click the link in the episode you're listening to or visit blackzitglobal.com and click on Passport. See you inside. Hey now, I'm back. Well, sorta. I promised that there would be a bonus episode, and here it is. I am coming to you from Portugal. In this bonus episode, you'll hear the audio of my recent conversation on YouTube with Herman and Dee of H&D Abroad. They are two empty nesters who are planning to move abroad, but they haven't picked a country yet. If you are sitting in the same seat and you want to move abroad, but you haven't picked a country, I know you'll get a lot from this conversation. I'm also excited to share that I am collaborating with our friends at Our Black Utopia. You might remember them from season 5. We are co-hosting the Move to Portugal Virtual Summit. The summit takes place November 3rd through 5th. You'll find a link in the episode you're listening to, and we look forward to seeing you there. Close your eyes and imagine living a life you love, unapologetic and unbothered, free from daily microaggressions from Karens and Kens, free from the fear of police brutality and systemic racism. Wouldn't that feel amazing? Now open your eyes. What if I told you that it's possible? Hear inspiring stories and get the actual blueprints from brothers and sisters of the diaspora who are living out their wildest dreams abroad. You've heard the term, now be inspired by the movement. I'm Krishan Wright, and this is Blackzit Global. Hey y'all, happy Saturday. I was trying to get my last swig. It's Krishan. My background looks a little different. I'm in a hotel for the next couple weeks. Well, less than 2 weeks, actually. But for those of you who don't know me, I am Krishan Wright, the host of the Blackzit Global podcast and the founder of Blackzit Global. Blackzit Global exists to empower and inspire members of the African diaspora to pursue a life abroad. And I am 2 weeks away from my move. So no more apartment. Made my last rent payment last month and moved out. Went to Florida. And then for those of you who are following me on Instagram, you saw that I went to Le Dineon Blanc the other day in Jersey City. And I actually met one of our guests from season 2 in person. When you heard her, she was in Brussels. Then I got to meet her in person, Chantel. So Chantel, if you're watching, it was so great. Thank you for inviting me. We had an amazing time and got to see some more members of the Blackzit Global community. So it was really fun. And so, yeah, now I'm back in Jersey. It feels a little different. So in case there's any challenges with background noise, because, you know, summertime, hotel, kids, and I have my DOG taking an NAP, just know that if I drop off for the Wi-Fi, stay, I'll be back. I've already told our guests for today. So definitely extend us some grace. I want to acknowledge all of y'all and make a couple of announcements before I bring on today's guest for what will be an awesome conversation. I see y'all already lighting up the comments. Hey, Greta. Greta's in the house. Alexandria. Hello. Vicky G in the place to be. Hey, Tanisha. Hey, how are you? Our Exodus life. Oh, I love it. Hello. Awesome. Kimmy G. Hey, hope you are doing well. Banja. Bajan Alpha 4. Hey, how are you? Jeanette is in the house. Oh, thank you, Tanisha. I am thrilled. And probably, well, I won't say the next time you'll see me because I have an announcement to make. So y'all see me before I leave. Put it that way. Hey, Francis, how are you? It's good to see you. Hey, Lynette. Black's a Global Passport members in the house. Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, I gotta make that announcement too. Oh my goodness. Talisa, hey. Oh, thank you so much. I'm excited. And I'm excited to go live from there. Because I have so many things to talk to y'all about. I'm putting up every comment, right? Hey, Kimberly, how are you? Hey, Andy. Hey, and servant teacher, hello. I know you made it. How are you? It's good. I'm so glad you're here. Charisse, hi. Oh, thank you. Yes, you spelled my name correctly. That's awesome. Yes. Catch us live. What I am going to be doing. Hey, all right. We are in the place to be. Jesse's here. Hey, Jesse. I know. You know, Jesse's a new another one that wants to add W's. Malcolm did the same thing. I love it. good. Oh, hey, Professor LCH, how you doing? How you doing? So yeah, there's a lot for me to like drill down because y'all haven't seen me in a minute. So what's the big thing? Oh, a couple of big things. So in the next 2 weeks, we will have, I did the count this morning, 11, I think it's 11, no, 12, 12 members of Black Sickle Global Passport within the next 2 weeks out of America. That's amazing. One has already left this week, and should be still en route because I was like, message me when you're there. So I haven't heard anything. So I'm assuming she's still en route to Thailand. And then the remainder, including myself, to Portugal in various cities within Portugal. And so one of our lovely members was just here a couple hours ago, dropping off her stuff to the same place that I shipped my stuff. And so she's departing next week. I'm also getting the DOG to keep her SLEEP. We're spelling today to get her papers ready for the flight. And then we have people arriving on the 31st and all the way through the 7th, I think it is. So there's a lot. So in addition to my move, my daughter's move to college next week, and then everybody else in the group. It's been great. We also have these workshops. You all know if you're in the accountability group, our accountability groups are popping because we have some members here from Black Sickle Global Passport. And this Thursday, pretty sure it's Thursday, but if y'all in the group, you already see it on the calendar. We have a separate Portugal accountability group for the 2023 group because it's so big, and we actually need to break it up into two parts because the bulk of us are moving in the next 2 weeks, and then we have our late fall crew, and then we have another group of 2024 movers. And so I'm planning a dinner party. That has been exciting to plan, right? As if I don't have enough stuff to do, but I love my members. So I'm planning a dinner party. But our accountability group for the 2023 movers, we're actually opening it up beyond that in the group this coming week because we have, if you've been following the channel, friend of the podcast, friend of the platform, attorney. Immigration attorney Sandra Gomes Pinto, and she is a Portuguese attorney. She's been on the channel
a few times. She is joining us in the group to talk about what to expect in the part two, the CEF appointment. So we're going to be doing that, and that's special for our members because we're at that stage, right? We've gotten our visas, we've done all the things other than get there in country, and then part two is doing the immigration appointment to get our residency permit. So she is going to help us know all about that so that we're all prepped for the big, big thing. So that's the kind of stuff that you can expect inside BlackSick Global Passport. Some people are like, oh, what's it? What is it? You know, they pop in. And even with everything going on in my life, I've been keeping it lively, right? I want everybody to get their value out of it. And then, like I said, for those of us that are in Portugal is our destination, we're going to be doing a lot of things together in country. What are we doing? Oh my gosh, what are we doing? First things is so many on the calendar for September. We're going to the movies, outdoor movies. We're doing drinks. And then a couple of us are going to a concert. So that's just September. And then October is the dinner party, the welcome party. It's a lot going on. So if you haven't joined Black's Global Passport, you missed out. You are able to, let me drop the link. As you can hear, my voice is a little bit of sleepy because I did sneak in a power nap before today's live. So my voice isn't completely awake yet. So y'all probably getting a little love gravy voice. I'm just silly. So I just dropped the link. It looks like, I wondered if Facebook was still cooperating. Okay, so there's the link. You can join Black's Global Passport free for 2 weeks. And then you can see if it's right for you. Hopefully it is. And if you want one-on-one coaching, I think there's a link to that in the description of this live. I'm trying to think, was there any other announcements before I bring on my guests? Yes, there is. Exodus Life, I love this comment. I know, right? We have to have community. And hey, Nicole, hey. Speaking of a member who's out in the world about to depart. Hey. Follow, subscribe to the Sadoud Life. Because, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. She's going to be sharing more about her move. Yes. I know. This is awesome. The other part of the announcement. I told you so much in my brain right now. So tomorrow I'm going to be live again, but not here. I will be going live. I will post it on the channel and Instagram and email if you're on the email list. If you're not on the email list, you're missing some great stuff. But I'm going to be live tomorrow on Our Black Utopias channel. So if you listen to the podcast, you already know about Our Black Utopia. They were on season 5. They were also in the article that I wrote for Condé Nast World Traveler earlier this year. They were also featured recently in the Wall Street Journal, right? So we're really happy. We're going to be talking all things Portugal tomorrow. And in that conversation, there will be a special announcement. So you'll want to be on that live. So I will also drop this link to the Move to Portugal Summit. If you follow Our Black Utopia, and I think I've dropped it here before in the midst of the 9 million things that I'm doing, just one more. I've collaborated with our wonderful friends, Rick and Halisi of Our Black Utopia, to put on the Move to Portugal Summit. So we have a bunch of talented experts who will be joining us. We have been planning and working on this for months, and it's all coming together. So I dropped the link. Definitely get on the mailing list You want to know when the episode, my brain's now thinking about the podcast. You'll want to know when the tickets drop, which may or may not be in the next couple hours. Who knows? So you'll want to be a part of that. Like I said, we are going to have attorneys. We're going to be talking setting up business, taxes, the whole bit. We have people who are in Portugal, people who are in the States. You are going to get everything about moving with pets, kids, you know, empty nesters, whole gamut. So definitely take advantage, get on the mailing list. You'll want to be a part of this summit. If Portugal is in your consideration set, this is the time. And there's also going to be some special things happening at that summit and announcements. I'm going to leave it at that. Okay. So I've taken enough time. All right. So y'all know that I'm moving to Portugal, but when I started on this journey in 2017, my heart was set on New Zealand. And then I went through this exploration of deciding where I wanted to go and trying to find new countries. But I'm an empty nester right now. I'm an empty nester, but I'm always curious and fascinated when I have an opportunity to talk to people on the podcast in real life. I love talking about moving abroad, but I also like talking to couples and seeing how they navigate the process, right? Like some people, you know, one spouse might be ready to go. The other spouse might be like a little reluctant. They might be on the same page, but I have yet to meet a couple that knew that they were moving, but don't know where. And so that's where my next guests come into play. We have joining us today, Herman and Dee. You might know them as H&D Abroad. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey. How's it going?
It's going great. I'm so happy to see you guys. Oh my goodness. And as a couple, right, who are embarking on this journey together, you are talking to me, but you are both not at the same location. So let's start there.
Yeah. Let's see. So we have embraced the addition of house sitting. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to take some individual breaks for some self-reflection, some individual rejuvenation time. And because I am location independent, I said, I guess I'll be going first. So actually, this is my second house sit, long house sit. So in the mornings and the evenings, I head to the beach, which is walking distance of where I'm staying. But, I wanted to try it out because I think it was probably more of a sell to my husband, the whole house sitting thing. And I was just like, everybody's doing it. Let's just go. Let me see. You know, the worst that could happen is, you know, I get an Airbnb and I fly back home. Mm.
It's just her way of taunting me because she got to go to the beach and I didn't. She know the floor. Oh.
I saw that kind of like she's stunning on you, you know?
Yeah, she's shooting smoke. No, this is, you know, the beauty of her having remote work has made this available. And I didn't want this to be a holdup simply because, you know, right now my job, that the freedom to do that is not as regular. And I thought it was still a good opportunity. And it gives her a chance to get a breath away from me, you know, within reason, she gets to take a breath. But yeah, this has been a great and challenging experience. It's great because, you know, it's always an opportunity to learn to do something new. And I'm looking forward to when we can do one or more together. But, you know, my.
Go ahead, H, because I wanted to add something in. We did an episode very early on about I think the title is something like skills that you should practice before you move abroad. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to cities that I've never been to, and I'm learning the transportation, you know, is it, you know, assessing if it's walkable. I'm introducing myself to new people. So, you know, all of the skills that I'm saying are important to the move abroad process. I'm practicing those skills because as we've shared on our channel, some of that is a little not in my core skill set, you know, and so I'm trying to build that capacity. I'm trying to build those skills so that it's easier. Times we are together, sometimes we'll be, you know, apart, and I need to feel confident that I can move in the world as a Black woman by myself. And so solo travel feels a little bit more comfortable, you know, trying that out in the States. And then I'll begin to do some trips alone. But house sitting, you know, is a cost-effective way, but also doing it while I'm, you know, doing my regular 9-to-5 is really nice.
Wow, that is awesome. That is awesome. I'm so glad when we had talked about this live and originally, you know, I think this was maybe before the house sit and you said, oh, we're not going to be in the same room. I'm like, no, this is perfect, right? Because this is like real life. So I'm going to back up a little bit because I think I probably got a little ahead of myself in my excitement. So H and D are empty nesters. And they have been married for a long time to Black love, right? And just to like let everyone know like who you are before we get into the how we got here, I think that would be helpful. So I'll leave it to y'all to decide who wants to take it.
She already told me it was going to be me. That's why she held her mouth. So let's see. She has graced me with her presence as a partner. We started dating 30 years ago. And we have been married this coming September, 24 years.
Wow.
I am honored to tell you the truth. We have three young adult children. One is the last one is making his way out. So he's in that flow out. And the two olders are this year almost together found themselves places to be. And we're working our way through that process. That's a growth and learning process. We're hustlers. We're learners. We come from educational backgrounds, both not just in our professions, but in what our families expected from us. My mother was a teacher for almost 50 years. You know, we a part of our decluttering process is all the books that we have that we bought for the kids when they were little, so that we're still, that they start reading years ago, that we're still dragging around from place to place. We're talking about starting our own library. So this process is right up our wheelhouse because it's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to find the world. I think we both have traveling in our blood. Dee came to me several years ago about moving abroad, and I'll let her maximize on that part. But she came to me several years about moving abroad. Same more than
many, many, many years ago.
and as we kind of highlighted at times on our page, I've never been against it. I don't think that I fully comprehended the concept, really, you know, maximize the process. We tend to look at relocation as a retirement issue, as a retirement thought process. When the FIRE movement really started to jump in popularity through groups like Our Rich Journey, you know, we really started looking at, you know, what could we do differently? You know, what could we be looking at? You know, and so we really started tapping into trying to double down on getting rid of, you know, any lingering debt that we had, and, you know, really finalizing if we were going to move while one or more of the kids were still in the house or immediately after they left the house, you know, what would that look like? We're both, you know, have reached our 50th life anniversary this year. We're both 50 this year. So, you know, we didn't want to be 65 and then exploring the world. And so that's a little bit, I guess, from my viewpoint. Dee, I'll let you tell them the truth.
Well, you know, everything that Herman has shared is a reflection of, I think, one, our commitment to each other, to hear each other's concerns, to hear what our heart desires are, and to be open as each of us learns more to share it. Mm-hmm. Probably since high school, I went to a faith-based high school, and so missions was kind of their focus. And I was like, I want to be a missionary. I love meeting people and sharing, and wasn't necessarily deterred by language, or, you know, you're young, your friends are doing it. You want to go out into the world and do it. And I didn't. And then, you know, you go to college, go to grad school, you get married. And it's like moving abroad was a nice to have. I wanted to raise our kids, before world schooling was world schooling, I really wanted to give them the sense that the U.S. isn't the center of the world, that we are global citizens. Mm-hmm. But how to do that, y'all, as we said, we're 50. There was no YouTube. Like, people weren't sharing their personal stories. And I could not find work that would take us abroad. I have seen the move abroad process, the why of the process be clearer as I've looked at how the lifestyle I want to have, that I don't have to delay until I'm retired. Mm-hmm. And also that the transition from our primary role as parents to really centering each other and getting back to knowing our individual selves and connecting as a couple, that the move abroad process just provided so many growth opportunities that I think, you know, if you look at the arc of relationships, it can kind of, you can see there being vulnerabilities, you know, that make people kind of stale out, you know, after mm-hmm. the kids have been the center of your attention. And I am so excited about the move abroad process. I am so excited to do this with my partner. I'm so excited to center, you know, that maybe this first year of our move abroad process is our second honeymoon. I mean, like, there are so many possibilities out there. Like, you know, because we're not centering work and productivity, that we can really lean into what brings us joy, healing, release, mm-hmm. Boosting our friendship, partnership, adventure. Like, that can reflect a very healthy marriage mindset, and we choose to center that on our channel. I know I've probably gone way past what you wanted in the introduction.
I love it every second of this, because I'm like, oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, this is really, this process has redefined and outlined for us where we are going in this developmental part of the stage. Because I think sometimes one of the things that get lost is dreaming and planning. And even though I think that's a part of our process, it's really given us something to double down on, because it's more than just planning the trip. You know, you can plan a trip together and then come home and do what you're doing. This is, how do we put this all down and go do something different and hold on to who we are, as well as realize who we're becoming individually and as partners. And it's really an eye opener, because it changes the conversation about a lot of things that you thought were understood, that you thought were common, that you thought were in place. And then you realize, okay, wait, I was understanding that differently. And I mean, from the beginning of this conversation, moving abroad has a different timeline and a different purpose and a different understanding to individual people and what they want in life. And then you're talking about two people trying to mesh those things together and then make that a process that they can collectively be happy with. That's the conversation of a lifetime, because it's not just.
Yeah. How does that work then? How does that work when you have, like you said, your collective, you've built this foundation, this 30-year foundation, this bedrock, right? Of which everything stands upon, right? Your life together, children, right? What you built in the country of origin, right? The country that you're born to. Now you're taking that dream and you're still individuals, right? How do you then, one, articulate those dreams and goals and ambitions to your partner? And then two, I guess as part of that, what's the talk track or negotiation to maybe achieving that collective dream?
That's a word right there, negotiation. when we began, and you'll hear me talk about this a lot, when I began understanding these requests and researching the process more for myself, what I found was a lack of Black male married voices who were saying, this is why we're doing this and that. And so then I had to find a way to understand from her viewpoint what she was asking for. And then find a way to explain what I understood that to mean. Slow travel and relocation are two different things. They may be involved, but they're two different things. And my brain understood slow travel, and slow travel still has an element of return. Can still have an element of return. We go, we go, we go, we go. Our house is here. We come back to the house. We go, we go, we go, we go. We come back to the house. Becoming an expat, becoming someone who's moved abroad means I packed up and moved. And not, you know, it's hard enough as a Southern boy to say I moved to the North or I moved to the West, because Northerners, Westerners, and Southerners are the same and different. But to say I moved to another country, I moved to another continent, I moved onto the other side of the planet. Now you're talking about I left behind not just some of my stuff, I left behind my family and whatever state of development they're in. I left behind, you know, pizza, I understand. I left behind clothes I recognize. Oh, and by the way, nobody speaks the language I speak. It's one thing to be in the room and you know, one person's from Maine and one person from New York and one person from the West and one person from the South, and you listen to all the different dialects, but they're all speaking English as it is. But, you know, I speak English and you don't. And I'm in your space, and now and you have you have whatever stereotypical understanding of who you think I am, where I'm going. Mm-hmm. You know, you're dealing with those challenges. And especially as a Black man, there's a whole lot of apprehension about, I deal with that already here. And then I have to accept the possibility of dealing with that with some people who I don't even know they're talking about me, you know. So there are so many different, you know, pieces to that. And so the grounding part of that, the base to making that work is the obvious thing that is to all relationships, and that is communication and a constant conversation, because those are two different things. And I have a great communicative partner.
I bet that makes all the difference in the world.
It makes all the difference in the world. We're not talking about agreeing and disagreeing.
Yeah, just communicating.
Can we communicate? Can we have this conversation? I'm rambling, Dee, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, let's see. So the arc of our conversations had, you know, sometimes you need a mediator, mm-hmm. you know. We, as my husband has shared, counseling mm-hmm. is a flex. If you are not flexing the ability to be vulnerable, to be transparent with someone who says, let me hear, without judgment, you know, on an individual level, sometimes you need a counselor to step in and say, you say, and then what did you hear that your partner said? That sometimes you have to double down on basic skills mm-hmm. to get strong. I mean, communication is literally like building a muscle. You don't use it, it atrophies. You in a relationship, you can get that level of stagnation. Another area that I think couples have to come together on is trust. Why do you want to move? What do you not like about where, you know, are you saying you don't like where we are, or you don't like what I've provided for you or with you? Are you dissatisfied with me and the life I have? You got to get into those trust issues and not fear the outcome. Not fear the transparency that is going to come, because when I say safety, mm-hmm. I talk about safety on our channel because I've been held up at gunpoint mm-hmm. in the US. So I'm talking about a real incident that when I move in unfamiliar spaces, it triggers a response of something that happened to me early in our marriage, you know, that he has helped me navigate and he has been my safety, but I have to learn how to be safe in myself and understand the complement of safety with a partner, understanding his concerns for me, with me. But then when he says safety, he's saying, what does it mean to be safe as a Black man in this world? The perceptions. And so I'm hearing and I'm listening. I'm doing more than just paying attention to the words that are coming out of his mouth. And this process, because it's been really, we've gone from the nice to have to, baby, we setting a deadline, you know, whether we're slow traveling or we're picking a country, these conversations need to happen. There's a sense of urgency to them, to make sure that we're being transparent with each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what happens within a couple relationship that can be different. Those multiple layers that have to be checked and that you go back to as you are at each iteration of your timeline of moving abroad.
And I think what you gave us too in this short amount of time is like a masterclass, because you've talked about, you know, what I'm hearing, right? Your love for one another, which is ever present. There's a foundation of admiration, respect, your ability to communicate with one another. Even as you look toward the future, and you talked about, you know, growth, you know, being on your individual paths, you know, building a foundation and a bridge to the collective, you know, future, negotiation, and even what I hear is like, okay, this is what I hear, but this is what this word means to me. Right? It's the definition. It's like taking it, you know, okay, safety, we're going to break it down another level, right? Because safety to H is going to be different for you, D. And what I hear and what I love about this conversation is it's a blueprint for, you know, whether you're, you know, partnered, married, what have you, to really how to grow in the same direction, because some people might hear 30 years married and it's like, oh, why do we even need to talk? Like my partner is telling, you know, they could just, you know what I'm saying by a look or, you know, the thought, they can read my mind at this point or grow complacent, right? In their relationship. And I'm hearing just the opposite from you both. I'm hearing that it never stops. You know, the growth, the conversation, the building. And for some people, myself, right, I'm divorced. This was the conversation I needed to hear, right? And as I chart, and I've been open about this, the dating will commence. But, hey. You know, hey. Continent. you know, it's a great way to a lens by which to view any future person that comes into your life. And even if that isn't a romantic person, like how you speak to one another, how you communicate your goals. And even, I guess, maybe that's the next bridge to this is, okay, you've made this decision to chart this path, to leave what's familiar, to go to some uncharted territory together. How do you then, out of 195 recognized countries, start to then say, okay, we want to not be here, but where do we want to be? How do you work through that part?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll let you start with that one.
Let's see. So some of it, I guess for me, the choice wound up being super, like what was the simplest, where's the simplest place, the closest place that we could just like try it on. And so, there are a lot of people in the community that are saying, I'm going to get residency in Mexico. And I was just like, yeah, you know, as long as I don't work, you know, in country, there's no tax. I was just like, this is the easier of the processes. And the first part of the process takes place in the US. I was like, I can do this. And I'm going to say it, H, my superpower is research.
Yes, ma'am. Now, if you want to say it, I was working up to it. Yes, ma'am.
As it should be.
You know, as if we were, you know, you got to be old enough to know Wonder Twins, activate.
Yes.
You know, I feel like the skill that I bring to our relationship is when we identify a target, I'm going to research that thing. And then I'm going to say, bam, 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 would you not understand? And he says, I don't understand. I fill it in. And he says, target acquired. Let's hit it. And, but even in that, Krishan, Woo! You know, there's just, we've shared a lot on our channel about just the process of, okay, so what there are the things that you know, and then there's all of the things that you don't know. So we chose, you know, to start with Mexico, and we'll be headed to, we did temporary residency for a year last year. We're going to go back to do, you know, that for 3 years. And I think that was important to us to feel like we could accomplish that. And mm-hmm. then started saying, well, we have a strategy around this move abroad process, but we still work. Like I know that slow travel can have a place, and that place is I want to spend time in places before making a choice, but you can still do a few things. So, you know, another strategy that we're using is, hey, Ecuador, there are a couple of reasons why Ecuador is on our radar. So there are countries that are politically aligned with the U.S. and then some that are not as obviously aligned. And so we want to have these different levers that we can choose based on the situations or circumstances or the political environment or the accessibility. People had days to drop into somewhere during the last worldwide issue.
Pandemonium.
There we go. I was like, I can't remember the word that we're using to, you know, kind of breeze over it. But, and so I need a few places in the world where if I need to drop in, that I have the correct credentials to be able to do that. Do I have to be in those places long term? No, but I can put some things in place. And I've watched people that are influencers within the Black move abroad space begin to talk about this more. Mm-hmm. And so, we're doing several different things, recognizing there are things that, you know, we can do here. I mean, I can't take off more than maybe 2, maybe 3 weeks at a time being fully employed. And my employer saying you have to be based in the U.S. Then there'll be a level two of that investigation once we leave.
A part of it is playing to each other's strengths. Like she says, researching is her thing. I start off very specific with information. So there's a very narrow information. What am I looking at? And then we build from here. And then I'm a question asker. What is this? Why is that? What does this lead to that? Okay, I understand this and understand that. And then that conversation has expanded some things. I found in my research and watching YouTube, there's a lot of ladies, a lot of sisters online talking about moving abroad. And even with the couples, all the couples that have begun pages over time, I see our Exodus Life on here with us today. You know, even in this conversation of who convinces, you know, who, even when the husband is the convincer, a lot of times the wife is, when she gets the information, she's the drill down person. She's finding out this, she's wanting to know that. Because if we go back to that safety word a minute, she's trying to find what space makes her comfortable. You know, what does this present for me? What is this? And again, as a husband, as a Black man, I'm looking at what does this space say to me? So sometimes in that where is a place, there's the difference of the perception of the place moving to. Okay. Dee's first place was, you know, Southeast Asia. Of course, me and my kente, I just figured, you know, you Black man, we're going to move abroad, we're going to move to Africa. We both have had some level of adjustments to those concepts, not necessarily moved away from them completely, but the research around that information, because we more than just you pick up it. When you move within the States, it's do I like this neighborhood anymore? And I move over there to that neighborhood. When you move out of the country, you're talking about how do their resources assist me with what I want to do? And so if I'm going to move to a place And I'm still at a, we're still at phases in our lives where we have to, where we have to work. You know, if the internet's going to be, they're going to blackout 2 and 3 times a day and 2 or 3 times a week. It doesn't matter how beautiful the space is. It doesn't matter how wonderful it is. I want to be there. If I have to work, that doesn't work for me because I can't be offline in the middle of my workday. If the environment is, if the cultural environment is aggressive towards a gender or aggressive towards people of certain of color or certain, then I need to know those things because I need to know where we are. If they're going through a range of political upheaval, those things are all important to know. Beauty is one thing. You know, financially, you know, able to move there is great. But if we're going to move there and then we got to run away because the country closed down because there was a coup. And again, some of those things you can't always
anticipate.
Mm. But there are some places that go through it, doesn't, you know, and I mean, unless you're just willing to deal with that, cool, great. So, you know, so this concept of, okay, so where are we going? A lot of that has been shifting and changing because so many factors affect it. Where are we financially? What are we doing with this house we just bought? You know, are the kids going to be okay by themselves, you know, a little while we're gone? How are our parents? That, you know, so many factors fall into place that just saying we're going to go. Central South America has been an easy potential start place because, again, we haven't drilled down on that. It's a potential start place because, you know, it comes with that soft landing. It's not far away. It's but then again, we're having to review everything because, again, Mexico isn't financially what it for the American dollar isn't the same as it was a year ago when we started this drill down.
So, yeah, and the same with Portugal, you know, how they say yesterday's price is not today's price. It's like the prices you were seeing on, you know, videos or different conversations, you know, inflation has affected everyone everywhere. And so, you know, I really, you know, stress and reinforce to people to do your research, drill down on your numbers, see what the money you have, what that translates in another country. And then also look at the policies. And, you know, you talked about it, H, about, you know, whether it's political instability, you know, fluctuations in cycles, your level of comfort with infrastructure or lack thereof. For every person, it's going to be different. And so I love your approach to, you know, kind of trying on a country for a while, living there, seeing if, you know, you can be comfortable in all of the aspects of life that are important to you while you're assessing.
It's why, you know, again, the consideration or the putting into practice of the house sitting is helpful. When Dee brought that to me to the table, she said, okay, look, if we house it, you know, again, immediately you're saying, you know, outside of an Airbnb, I don't want to be staying in somebody's space, you know. But she said, you know, we can do these things. And, you know, housing is an issue wherever you are. And you're talking about having an opportunity to visit an area with a lower cost housing cost opportunity. Listen, I'm not passing up that opportunity. That's a great idea. It drops down into her continued state of genius for me because I was like, okay, because I never would have considered that as an option. I'd have been trying to figure out, you know, where do we go? You know, home for me is wherever she is. So I don't need a brick and mortar. It doesn't have to be a space. We're just trying to, how do we find out a space and being able, and I don't know if it's who I am as a personality. I don't know if it's a part of me being man. You know, we can talk about it, but until I land there and put my feet there and I walk around there myself and I spend some time there, it's theoretical for me. So sometimes choosing a space for me, choosing a potential place for me is difficult because right now we still don't have free traveling ability. We can't just hop on a plane we want to and go and spend 4 weeks. That's not a reality for us. And so we have to be intentional about how we go and see the world, and the time we spend there has to be intentional. When we were in Mexico last year working on our visas, we walked the ground. I mean, my walk health thing on my phone was like, you know, have you left? Did you lose your car? I mean, you gone from a couple of steps to,
you know, ever watching like, is this you?
Hey, you know, I was, you know, it's like getting a fraud alert from your bank. You know, you're just like, something's not right. You know, and in the space of 10 days, in the space of 10 days, I watch our health and wellness change. In the space of 10 days, and we did the on the ground research. Where can we go? How far can we carry these large water bottles safely? You know, how many of these alleys? We were in Spain. Everything is an alley. We were in Sevilla. And listen, I was born in Detroit, lived in Chicago, grew up in Florida. I'm from Miami, and we walked in no alley. And we're walking through alleys at 12 o'clock at night, and I'm realizing, oh, this is just how this goes. This is just the space and the way this works. And having to step away from some of those conditioned phobias that we establish in what I call our self, you know, limiting way we live here in the States. And that has a lot to do with the conversation for me. I don't know.
I wanted to interject here, Krishan. What we have decided to do is, if we could not be in a place long term, there are some things that we will do even with a confined period of time. So we live like a local. I'm going to stay in a house. I'm going to stay in Airbnb. I will not be in a hotel. Mm-hmm. As much as possible, I'm going to try to choose somewhere that I know is walkable. That means I have to look at a bunch of videos where people are literally showing where they're walking. I was not ready for Mexico City. The sidewalk. I mean, like,
no way.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I had brought my cute shoes. I was like, baby, unless you want to break your neck, you better put on those tennis shoes.
Yeah, when your sidewalk is 6 inches deep, stepping off the sidewalk. Yeah.
So, you know, we intentionally chose places where we could go to the grocery store. You know, I want to know where the bookstores are, the libraries. I have a bunch of pictures of the co-working spaces because those are things that are important. I want to live in a space, experience a space like a local, and really get a sense of the technical. And then I spend time feeling the vibration. Mm-hmm. of a place. Mm-hmm. What do I see? So we're out in Sevilla, which is my heart place. And in Spain, it's 11 o'clock at night. The children are out. Families are out. Grandparents, children, and grandchildren are walking together in the park. There are people jogging and cycling and rollerblading on the river. I can walk past a pastry shop. Hey. and get my gelato, baby. That gelato life. Mm-hmm. Like, I, you know, and you realize, what are the things that I need to be accessible and around me? So even if I can't spend 30 days, I can see what it feels like, so I can have a sense of, is this somewhere I want to come back to and do a little bit, spend a little bit more time? Or like when we went to Morocco, when we went to Marrakesh, I was like, this was as much as I would like to have of this in my life. This was a very nice visit, but this does not meet it does not check. But also, we did that trip different. We did mm-hmm. the hotel. We were mm-hmm. in the tourist area, right. and we paid the price, the mm-hmm. literal price, but also that you don't get, you're in a tourist bubble, and that can definitely cloud your view. And so those are the kinds of things that I think are strategies when you're talking about when you don't have a lot of time, drop in like a local.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are behavioral science. We are both behavioral scientists by trade, but we are empaths by birth. And so energy in a space is a big deal. And the vibrations, to use these words, the vibration in the area is important to us. Do we feel energy that is engaging? I mean, you know, as well as, you know, you sit down, I'm a chef, so I'm using food analogies. If you sit down to a plate of food and it's really good, you enjoyed it, but, you know, you feel bloated, we've come to associate that with it was good. My association with soul food now is, do I feel when I'm eating this food? Am I warm to my heart? Does it touch my heart area, even if I have not, am I satiated even if I'm not bloated? And we're looking for spaces that are satiating our energy and our flow. And so we're not wanting to take that lightly. The communities that Dee is engaged in, I think, are great. I love them. And they give a lot of energy and information about, you know, where they are, and there's pictures, and it's beautiful. I mean, I grew up on National Geographic. So, I mean, I know the pictures and the sights and the sounds, but I still have to put my feet on the ground and let me find out if the heat is coming up through my feet. When my father's mother, my grandmother, is 94. And for every grandchild that was born to her, and every great grandchild that's born to her, is when she spends time with us when we were babies, at some point in that learning process as we were babies, she took our shoes and socks off of our feet, and she put our feet on the ground. She put our bare feet on the soil, wherever we were, wherever she was visiting us. She bent us over, and she put our hands on the ground, and she told us, touch the ground, feel the earth, feel the grass. That is a part of my makeup. I grew up in Florida, so sunshine and energy. And so I need places that we got the windows in this house almost to the floor. And that is, it doesn't matter what the neighborhood looks like, that energy is important to me. And that is a part of some of the things that we, you know, in considering when we had these conversations, of what bleeds true for us. And sometimes the spaces are different. The conversation about where that is different. But that's opening up to the variations of accepting what we're looking for. And, you know, I told her, you know, we can go, let's go. Wherever it is, let's go. Because if I'm not feeling it, I can be honest enough about saying that. Yeah, this and it's going to come out like, this doesn't feel safe for me. And not, it's rarely going to be, I don't like this space. I don't know if that's, I'm not sure if that's a place that I would bump into. And if it is, knowing my wife like I do, she probably will be there already.
I love that. So how do you then take, and I'm kind of like putting some questions together, this intentional slow travel, trying on a country for a period of time, how do you then arrive at a point, or have you talked about, okay, by this stretch of time, 2024, 2027, whatever, will arrive at the date and the place? Have you put that date on the calendar, or is it more of the organic ebb and flow as you continue to dance around the world?
Yes.
Well, let's see. So for me, the critical piece was setting a date. Mm-hmm. When you get into the research cycle, let's see. So a lot of people have talked about analysis of paralysis. Like, you can just go around in a circle. I created a little bit of list here. You mentioned tips for choosing the right country for you. At the top of my list is perfection is the enemy of the move abroad process. Mm. I am not looking for a perfect place. I'm looking to land in a place that feels safe, that feels safe, where I can, because we're in our 50s, we will continue to work, because we still have some goals that we are working toward, and it's too early to draw down anything that would pay. So I'm not looking for a perfect place. I'm looking for somewhere where we can spend a reasonable amount of time. So that is either somewhere where we already have residency, or a place, I mean, Albania, our passport, we can get a long-term visa there. Cambodia, we can get a long-term visa there. We could do 3 months in a lot of different places, you know. And so what we've backed off of is that we have to choose a place before we leave. Like, why? Like, I'm willing to travel. I mean, and so we have to build the budget that allows us to do that. But even in building the budget, mm-hmm. when I started seeing that, you know, on this, some of these house sitting websites, and we've had people on our channel that said, yeah, I had this house sit for 6 months. I was like, what if you didn't have to pay rent mm-hmm. for 6 months? Like, how could that change your financials? And so we were like, well, maybe we could use a combination of lining up some house sits in places that we want to be, or that we didn't mind being while we stack, because that place might be, this is the place that helps us stack money. It might not be where we want to be, but this is the place that's going to help us stack the money. And then we're going to move to a place where we have a longer term access, where we're trying to assess, is this somewhere where we're going to get that second visa, you know, you know, where we're going to work toward permanent visa. There are some places that I'm just like, you want me to sit still for, you know, 18 months or 2 years, maybe that we front end that before we hit our retirement money. Baby, all this process is doing is saying, you got options. Like, stop trying to push yourself into a corner when you have options. Mm-hmm. You know, if I had the opportunity to have cornbread and pound cake,
hey,
I got two hands. Okay, hey. So you know I'm married to a chef, so I'm going to use those food analogies. But, you know, why are we trying to stack ourselves and limit our choices? What we found is, you know, as content creators, it would be easier for us to say, we're moving to X place. The more difficult is to say, we are open to the experiences, because it may be later in life where we want to make a choice about settling down, but I'm young. I want to see the world. I don't want to just see a place. I'm kind of done with the touristing. I can move in spaces, and we've got a friend that's moving through Southeast Asia right now. And I'm just like, you know, the opportunities that you can tap into when you are not trying to rush through and check a box. That's the life. We are going for a lifestyle and mm-hmm. not necessarily mm-hmm. a place. And that's yeah. my perspective.
Thank yeah, I want to be deep enough in the space to find the hole in the wall restaurant. You know, when you've been to the place and you've been to only the high end places, then you know you're still a tourist. If you find that hole in the wall that really throws down, then you're deep off. And you know, and because you spend enough time to walk the beat. You spend enough time to figure out this works for me and this doesn't. I like this and I like that. And because D and I think one of our major objectives is to wherever we are to be immersed in the culture of where we are. I'm not trying to be an expat. I'm trying to be a local. Whether we're there for 6 months or 6 years, I'm trying to be a local. I want you to not recognize me because I walk past you and I'm just as sun browned as you are or whatever. I mean, I want that familiarity with a space and doing it at this phase in our lives when there's still, Lord willing, a considerable amount of space in front of us to continue to grow and to do. Yeah, let's go in deep. And it's okay. And had to come to a point where I can say it's okay if I decide we don't like it. If we decide we don't like it. Mm-hmm. Okay, this really didn't work out. I mean, you know.
It's a foreign concept for some of us to grapple with because, one, the frenzied pace of being in America, right? It's always the hustle and grind. You're always on the hamster wheel. And then if you're so fortunate to have time to go to another country, to use vacation time, it's very finite, right? The amount of time that we get to enjoy as Americans versus, you know, people in other parts of the world, namely Europe, where 6 weeks is the standard, that's the minimum, right? Mm-hmm. So they look at us and they're like, oh, so sorry, right? Sorrows, prayers. And so now to then, you know, have this deliberate and intentional approach to, hey, we're gonna take it slow. We're gonna live like locals. And I think, you know, being called a local is one of the greatest compliments that you can get on this journey. And seeing it with a different lens, it's like you don't have to commit right away. To your point, it's okay to say, I don't like this. Like I've had guests on the show that love Costa Rica. They're in different parts. It worked for them. When I went, it didn't work for me. And it doesn't mean that I don't like the country. It means for what I needed in this stage and phase of life and my business, my journey, whatever, it's not the right time. I love New Zealand. I still talk about New Zealand, even though I'm days away from moving to Portugal. But at this stage and phase of my life, for a variety of reasons, it's not going to work. Now, is Portugal going to be in the plan forever? Probably not, right? Like there's a whole world. And I think I was just having this conversation with someone the other day, is there's certain countries, there's certain experiences that I feel as someone who's turning 50 next year that I need to have before this body does what most bodies do, right? I've had, you know, probably more years behind than potentially I have in front. And so being on a plane for 28 hours is okay right now, but if I delay going to, you know, Japan or, you know, some of the other places that are further out, Fiji, whatever, till I'm 60, 65, I may think in this 49-year-old body that mm-hmm. that's possible, but once life gets lifing, it may not be, right? And so it's a mindset shift. It's an evolution. It's a checking in. Well, I'm a solo, right? Checking in with myself, but then also having the benefit of, you know, the community and forums, right? Like this and your channel to talk about these, you know, with other people, because that ability to have options and choice is one that for Black Americans specifically isn't something that we're used to. We're mm-hmm. used to existing mm-hmm. with rules that have already been constructed, and we're navigating what rules are while also being mindful that there are intentional traps. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a lot. And also rules that apply to us that don't apply to people that don't look like us. And also recognizing that the rules that were created by others can be changed to their advantage while we're still playing the game. And my thing is, when I play a game with somebody, we both know we're playing this game, right? I feel like I'm at this stage of life where I was born into this game. I don't want to play no more, right? You cheating. You cheating. I don't want to play this game no more.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, I talk a lot about how we as people of color have learned to self-regulate. We
don't need to be policed anymore.
We don't need to be policed anymore.
We're now policing each other or ourselves.
We teach our children to be afraid when they leave the house. We teach them to restrain themselves. You know, why are you speaking out? Why are you talking back? Because those were standards that were 150 years behind us, 200 years behind us.
For safety,
absolutely. But I have my two youngest are sons. And at 18 and 22, I want them to speak up for themselves. But I've already taught them to be quiet. My youngest said to me in a conversation we had recently, he said, "You're asking me to walk into this classroom and confront this teacher on this conflict that we had, but that's not the way you train me." And I said, "You're right. You're right."
Wow.
And at this point of readjusting where I am and how I address you as a parent, I'm telling you, you better get a hold on defending yourself, speaking up for yourself at this point before you're 50 like your father. And I'm having to go, I'm a grown man. And that is I'm tired of that struggle. I'm tired of having to explain why I'm standing in this store a little longer than I wanted to because I haven't decided what I want yet, and not because I'm casing the place.
It's psychological safety. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for us, it's psychological safety is something that unfortunately hasn't been afforded to us and in the way it has to others. And for me, when I stepped off of U.S. soil into another country, and I had these, you know, ideas of how am I going to be received as a Black woman and all these things I realized that were taking up space in my brain, right? Energy. And realizing as I started to go to other countries and that be less and less of an issue, I started to challenge, okay, is this real? Like the perceptions of, you know, myself, my place in the world. But it gets you on that path of why are we living the way we're living? And realizing that there's options, there's choices. And here, America keeps you small. And while a lot of what our elders and even us as parents have done for our own children has been born out of protection and safety and survival, what might serve you at that stage of life can hold you back in moving forward towards your destiny. For so many of us, and I'll take a leap and I hate using generalities, but have been so steeped in surviving and existing, the concept yes. of abundance and safety, psychological or otherwise, right, physical, is something that exists. Like that might be okay for them, but it's not okay for me. Like you're automatically putting the wall down. You're automatically thinking of the worst case scenario. What if I go there and, oh my gosh, I run out of money. What if I go there and I get assaulted? What if I go there and I can't speak the language? And instead of flipping it to, what if I do this and this is the best thing that has ever happened? The best thing I could have gifted myself, right? Instead of defaulting to the worst case scenario, default to the best case scenario. And that is not a switch that you flip. It's a mindset process and shift, and it's a confrontation of where are these paradigms that have been created in thoughts and things, where are they originating from? What are things that, like for myself, I'd have born out of trauma? Mm-hmm. Or what were things and conditions and, you know, all those isms that are said, right? You know, over time, is that part of the intergenerational trauma, right? That we, mm-hmm. you know, pass down. And so just being able to deconstruct and be willing to be in a place of, one, unlearning at times, and two, confronting without judgment.
Yes.
And being able to say, I'm not trying to lay blame. I think there's a quote, seek first to understand and then to be understood. And it's like, I want to understand, right? I don't need to judge anymore. And so, again, like I said, it's not a flip the switch if it doesn't come to you naturally, but it's more of a level of self-awareness and recognizing that, okay, I might be behaving in my default energy, right? In a default way that's born out of survival. I might, you know, maybe I was triggered in some way. Now I need to kind of like step back and say, okay, what is my body telling me? You know, what are the thoughts that are going through my mind? And then moving forward, is this a step that's moving me towards my destiny? Or am I self-sabotaging because I'm afraid of succeeding?
Yeah.
Girl, you just said like a sermon, a whole sermon. What I want to lay in this space also is, I'm going to try to confine it to just a couple of points. We have shared on our channel conversations that we've had with older generations of our family, and having them speak. My mother and father grew up in the civil rights era, where the N-word, being chased, you know, in the streets, get out of here. You know, my mom is from Birmingham, you know, lived block from 16th Street Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the safety that is taught, y'all, this isn't just, we call it epigenetics in public health. We're not just reaching back the 400 years of trauma that have trickled forward genetically, where physiologically, our bodies are responding in ways that are deeper than we can understand from a safety perspective. But those internal fears that we have kind of tried to quiet and ignore are now being actually said to us from people who care about us, mm-hmm. about our safety, as we share where that we're moving abroad, mm-hmm. or that we share where we are going. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we, you know, when you talked about, is it default energy? There are a lot of things that the media in our country of origin have laid over many of the countries we are considering. When you say Vietnam, there's something in the U.S. American psyche that comes up. When you say Mexico in this current age, there are things that are put forward because of where our media sources, where they are speaking to those negative things. And when we were in, it wasn't until we were in the space that we were like,
yeah, there's a lot of lies.
Who down here trying to, where is the tidal wave trying to get into the U.S.?
Mm-hmm. We really? Mean the cartel didn't, you know, come out and like.
Hey, I was just like, okay.
Gaslit, so, gaslit.
You know, where, you know, and then even in my response to how, so I walk in a department store and you've got a certain amount of time to address or acknowledge me. And I'm also going to watch when others of a different persuasion, when they come in the store, how long it takes you to address. I got to check myself. That's my U.S. safety. Mm-hmm. By checking myself is a part of this process. Checking my bias. What am I bringing into a space that even either opens or closes a door? I don't want to go to this space because, or I want to go to a space and in spite of what is being said.
Yeah, it's the black doll versus the blonde doll. You know, you get the perception of what is supposed to be the good thing. One of our earlier videos, we talked about, you know, check your information for yourself. I mean, all of these sites and all the information that we're getting, even from each other, because, you know, if I call it the Facebook, you know, phenomenon, you know, you're used to seeing everybody's high end and then you don't realize that they're disaster off of what they've posted. You know, you got America telling us that outside of America, everything's garbage except for the greatest allies. You know, and you get there and go, this place is amazing. I wish they had this in America. You know, you there's a lot of that.
And I wish the government ran as smoothly.
Yeah, yeah. Why is my healthcare not like this? You can go down the list. And you know, you get there and go, these people are clean, these people are dressed, these people are, you know, whatever. And at the same time, you know, even in this conversation today, you know, Dee and I are sharing, you know, all the great. We've been together as a couple for 30 years. You know, we have our challenges. That's life. That's reality. We don't agree always through this process. So, you know, sometimes we got to take a step back and take a deep breath and say, okay, here's what I saw. What's another side to this? You know, if all you watch is MSNBC, sometimes watch Fox News, because you need to understand what information people are getting when they're standing across from you, what their perception is and what their understanding is, and then try to hold an unbiased conversation with them so you can figure out where you actually are. And you'll find that a lot of times you agree on the same things. You just have a different perspective or background, or you've been lied to differently about how to get to the middle.
That's so true.
Just, you know, and in this move abroad process, speaking as couples, when you're having this conversation, you got to stand in front of each other and say, okay, if you're the person, as so many of the videos say, if you're the person being convinced, you know, what are you trying to tell me? Mm-hmm. And as a side point, I always say, I hate that word being convinced, because it sounds like, you know, how do you get me to do what you want me to do? Unfortunately, that's too often the undercurrent of the concept of, you know, convincing your partner. It's, you know, I want to do this and my partner won't. Okay. Lay out for your partner why this is of importance to you. It is my hope. It is my expectation in this conversation that your partner is someone who values your thoughts and opinions. So we're taking the high road here. Okay. And in that conversation, if something is of value to you and it's more than just, we ought to do this because I think it's good, you ought to be able to lay down why something is a potential of importance to you. It's got to be more than just because, you know, my girlfriend said this was a good idea, or because my boys say this is where we need to move. It's got to be bigger than that. Or this is where everyone is going. You know, and Dee and I had a conversation about a lot of that. Where we started off looking, everybody was going, and it became a part of the, yeah, not so sure. And it's not because I don't want to be where you all are. I love y'all to death. But I'm not trying to gentrify a place any more than I want you to gentrify mine. You know, I want to be a part of the culture, and I want to be a part of the space, and I want to be a part of the learning. If I'm going to be in America, I stay here. So I need the space to be something that we're not overtaking somebody else's culture. And that's happening in a lot of places. And that is, you know, that's the conversation that you have to have when you're standing there looking at each other eye to eye, saying this is important to me because I'm thinking that these things will assist us, will help us, we can grow with, you know, whatever. And not just if we move, it'll be great. Yeah, that doesn't help me. When my daughter started dating, I said to her, okay, you like this boy. Why do you like him? Oh, you can't tell me he's nice. You can't tell me he's funny. You can't tell me he treats you well. You can't tell me he buys you stuff. None of those count. Why do you like him? Okay. You need to take a step back and reevaluate your why. And that's our conversation. That's you know, D and I ever change our page, it's going to be the why.
So let's talk about that. Is it a good segue? So you have been on this journey of life together for 30 years. You made this decision as empty nesters, soon to be empty nesters, reaching this milestone in life. And now you decided to be on a public platform, right? So how did you both arrive at that decision, not only to do this, but to be transparent about it?
Oh, I'm definitely leading back. Oh! I'm definitely leading back. Yeah.
Well, ma'am. Okay, so a part of the community that I'm in, I started, you know, after just being just super energized, okay, everybody's moving abroad. Oh, this sounds exciting. This fits exactly with what I want to do. And then people, you know, and then you started looking at who were the messengers, mm-hmm. who were the people that were sharing the mm-hmm. message. And I was just like, but what does that look like for couples? What does that look like for couples? What is, you know, what is, you know, when you have a life partner, a legal life partner, like, you know, that you want to be with, and that you're saying, I want to move in this world with you in peace. You know, I want to hear those kinds of conversations. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to find a few people. And then I said, I'm going to take this class to figure out. I want to start a channel, but I don't want to show my face. I'm going to, you know, we're going to do these cute, like, little videos, but you know, it's just going to be us sharing, you know, me sharing and you maybe commenting. And I was confronted in this class, this YouTube class that said, people, especially Black people, when you're talking about this process, you lend yourself to credibility by showing your face. You connect deeper with people when they can see who you are. They can see from your body language a level of transparency and connectedness that you have with them, but also that H and I have together. And we've had so many people on our channel to comment on, hey, I can see you all together and I can see the difference that this process is making. But we moved not from getting over the fear of being content creators. Mm-hmm. We acknowledged it and move forward. Mm-hmm. And literally that is where we are applying and being an example to our children. Nobody says you should get over a fear. That creates a barrier and a time suck that puts not doing it on the table. But that's not what we're doing. We're not putting not doing it on the table. And so, like we talked about, there are things you can do before you move abroad. This was, to be straight up honest, Krishan, like, people are going to ask, y'all said y'all were moving at the end of 2024. What happened?
Yeah,
I'm right with you on that, because I was like, look, I've been doing this since 2020. And I've been saying 2023 is my year. I was like, I know there's people like, okay, girl.
Okay, I've been watching you.
In 2023, when that plane's again, it's accountability, right? It's put yourself out there, which is not an easy thing to do. People think, they see you, you're maybe an extrovert, or, you know, make these assumptions. Like, no, I'm very much introverted. I started with a podcast because I didn't want to show anybody my face. I'm always most comfortable being in the background. Now I'm in the foreground. And that is a process, right? But that is a process for every person on earth. So don't be the person that counts yourself out of life. Right.
Yeah. And we didn't want to be, we didn't come. The approach we took with this was, okay, we're right in the thick of things. A lot of the information that we found was, we're here and this is life here. And before we got here, here's some things that, looking back in retrospect, we're in the thick of things. We're this is us walking through it day by day. People have gut checked us. You all are wasting time. You all are doing like this. You all are, you know, we've taken some of the classes. You don't do that because you can do this. This has been a learning process for us. And what we wanted this process to be was a sharing process and not a teaching process. Even though we are educators, again, by trade, even though we are learners by design, We wanted this to be a community learning space. We wanted our channel to be a community learning space. Okay, here we are in the midst of it. You know, how does this work? You know, I can show you what this finished, you know, biscuit looked like. It's a whole nother thing to put your hand in the flour with me, and we grate the butter together, and we pour the milk in, and you feel how soft it is, because the terms I use for it, When I started my culinary journey, one of the things that I hated to hear when people were making dough, because baking is its own, you know, thing. And people were making dough and they would say, knead it until it's smooth. And I was like, what does that mean? How long is that? What does that mean? And I watched a man making a dish and he said, it should kind of look like this and it should feel like this. And when you touch it, it should do that. That resonated with me. And we wanted this experience that we were having to resonate like that. We wanted it to say, right now in the middle of this, we're angry, we're afraid, we're scared, we're unsure. We just got off, you know, an hour before we got on with you. And what we talked about was all the things that potentially are standing in our way. And every time we look up, there's something. Every time we look up, there's something. Something is causing it. And we wanted that to be live. We could record videos, but the majority of our videos, we go live every week, because you can't cut it out. You can't say it differently. You already put it out there. You know, she's already scowling at me because I didn't say something. I ain't got no business. And it's right there. And it's a gut check for us moving forward. And somebody can say, man, I never thought about that. Or I've been browbeating this bruh the whole time. Maybe I'm not listening to what he's saying and why he can't and why he doesn't. You know, if D and I are both firstborns, and as you can see all the things we carried similarly, and as firstborns, we have this whole sense of responsibility to what is supposed to happen with our family. Our sisters both have small children. If something happens to them, are we responsible for that? There's this whole, and in my first men's conversation, Rick Crawley was on the conversation with us. Had a group of men, and Rick said, your life is your life. But you're not wrong. And it's not that you're irresponsible to your family, because if they need you, you show up. But we sat down with some people when we were in Morocco, and they said, "What, you don't ever plan to come back? You can't come visit?" Community will gut check you. And this allowed us to have some gut check community while we shared our experience. And hopefully somebody can have a conversation the way we're having a conversation. We're not trying to get the whole Black community to up and, you know, because, you know, do what works for you. But we want, as educators, to say, I need you to see the world broader than this little neighborhood you live in. Because we're classic for that. I worked with a group of young people down in Birmingham, and, you know, they were old enough to pay taxes, and they had never been to the mall on the other side of town. And I was like, everything that goes into that mall, you're paying for. When my daughter moved into her new place, I said, walk around this apartment complex, because you are paying for this pool. You are paying for that treadmill. You are paying for that mailbox. Use it. And we limit our use into things because we think that we're not allowed. It's not ours. You know, we have to pay the tax, but we don't get the refund. And we need to start collecting our refund money.
Woo! I say that BlackSit is our reparations.
Hey,
government, in many ways you define freedom.
Hey. Give me my 40 and my mule, please. I earned it. I need to stop walking around the field looking at it. I see my name on the gate, but I won't go through the gate. It's time to walk through the gate.
And
go ahead.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, Davis. Representation, Krishan, matters. Mm-hmm. I am so proud to see the work that you put into your communities, all of the communities you're creating, that you are providing a fertile ground with the expectation that people will grow and go. Mm-hmm. What we're doing, I'm not just doing this for me. The intention that we put into the universe is that more our seed is planted so that other seeds will be planted and grow. We need a forest shift and not a treed community. Mm-hmm. We need a forest. We need multiple people talking about from multiple perspectives about why. Because I was just like, the 60 plus group, baby, they all about this. I mean, young people are all about this. Married people, single people, people that have high incomes, people on limited incomes. We watched a little couple. He was like, yeah, and we almost ran out of money, but we made it work. And we, you know, they're teaching English, you know, in the schools. And that was just like, people are making it work in a variety of ways. Represent. Your story is worth sharing because other people, millions of people,
mm-hmm.
are watching social media, and your story can inspire someone to take a step to make a difference in their life where they are, or all, you know, in whatever perspective that the move abroad process can bring. Because it has made me say, why are we working 60, 70, 80 hour weeks? Why do I have a house that costs this much for rooms that nobody is actually living in? Mm-hmm. Do we need three cars for two people, you know, four cars for two people? We can mm-hmm. barely get in and out of the garage area. I mean, like,
that's a car dealership.
the community is infusing ideas. When we just say, this is my process and I'm working my process. I am a child of the civil rights era.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get here by yourself. You are mm-hmm. standing on the shoulders. Mm-hmm. You owe the community something. you don't just get that. People have commented on what you said on our channel about we just move in this move abroad process different, that so many people resonated with that. And that's because we bring these values mm-hmm. forward. We bring the value of family forward. We bring the, that's why the content creation process, we were able to move from, yeah, this might be nice to we want to be visible. We want to share. We want to commit time each week mm-hmm. to share a journey where most people are saying, I'm moving to X place. This is just, it's just different. We don't know where we're going. We didn't set a date. We're going to go somewhere. Come along and watch us figure it out. Just like you'll probably be figuring it out too.
Yeah, and it's an evolution because, you know, as y'all see, I'm in this temporary location for the next 12 days or so. And I've been bopping around since mid-July. Wow. But even as I look at the road ahead, and you all had said it beautifully earlier, it's like you're living into what your future state will be, right? You're not waiting till we get to this destination to say, oh, how are we going to do this? You're modeling it and you're testing it out now. As I look in preparation, and I talk about it in the Black Sick Global Passport, you know, like, of course, being clear on your why, but for those of us who are in the final days of our move, right, there's been a whole conversation around designing your day-to-day so that, you know what you're going to do, or you can anticipate, right? Because you take you wherever you are. If you go and you say, oh, America, I had all this drama and I never had any money and blah, blah, blah. And now you go to country, you know, X, and you got the same kind of drama and you have no money, right? There's only one constant there, right? It's you. And so as I start to think about, you know, designing my day to day, it's like, okay, I'm going to be doing language, you know, during the day. I want to meditate during the day. Of course, you know, walk the DOG and, you know, of course the show. And so all of these things, but part of that is being able to do things as a content creator that I have been, you know, part of circumstance, right? I record the podcast, 10 episodes I always commit to, sometimes more, but never less. And I will have my own space in my new apartment. I'll have my own studio to have a space. And then also with that, I'll be able to be consistent and regular on YouTube, which I hadn't been because my old apartment and even the show is like whenever my daughter was with her dad, that's when I was recording. That's when I was going live, right? So these things fluctuate. I couldn't do that. So as I start to design and evolve, you know, I want to bring the community on the journey and get feedback because we have collectively co-created this opportunity for us to go and grow together. Go in the sense of some of us are actually in these last stages. And then regardless of where you are in the stage, you representation matters. And being able to highlight and amplify the journey steps, be it good or bad, right? You know, there's no utopia. We're not going to Wakanda. You know, we, and I want to be, you know, really clear about, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly of it. But it's important because it's important for people to go eyes wide open, but not to, you know, it was a comment mentioned earlier, you know, not to get stuck in analysis paralysis of feeling like you have to solve for every particular thing. And I think that's a lot of it is born out of being stuck and rooted in survival for so long that you have to think of, well, I don't know what's going to happen. So like for me, I'm an A to Z type you know, person. I done thought through every possible scenario. And now it's like, I'm saying to myself, and we were talking about it briefly before we went live, you know, with some of the challenges that I've been having at this last little stage. And the thing that I keep reiterating to the group is the closer you get to goal, the more you will be tested. And that is because how bad do you want it, right? And how much have you grown? Again, you take you wherever you are. So there have been some bigger challenges that have come, and I've had to just say, oh, this is not a today problem, right? And I'll tell, you know, y'all in the audience, because we were talking about it, like, movers, and I'll go into it probably more in depth at some point, but, you know, movers, scam, some of my stuff, not here. Okay. Is it important stuff? Yeah. But it's not a today problem. Because, I'm not going to be here. So I'm going to do what I can do, yeah, what's within my control, report it, and then I have to let it go. Old me, and by old, I mean like a month, 6 weeks, 7 weeks ago, would have been like blowing my top, ruminating, oh, how dare you, da-da-da-da, and stuck in this emotional cycle, right? The me is like, you know what? I'm letting go of things. I'm allowing myself to vibe on a different vibe, on a different frequency. And as I do that, there are things that are materializing in my life that I know for a fact would not have if I were still rooted in behaviors that were my default behaviors that were born, again, out of necessity that no longer serve me as I look to the next chapter. So as we start to talk about the next chapter and wrapping up, let's talk about where people can find you, because, I mean, we've seen the comments going. There's been an awesome conversation. Jesse's even saying it and echoing it. I hope that y'all, as y'all listening, y'all have been opening up another window to subscribe. But how can people get more of you?
Well, we are on HND Abroad. Is our YouTube page. It also is our Instagram page. We are social media infants, so we are still building in our process. It's a please be patient with our dust. But yeah, we HND Abroad. We go live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Central Time. D goes live a few Tuesdays a month at 6 p.m. Central Time. And then we always throw a few in here and there as we're learning some things. We're learning how to jump in on Instagram a little more often. But those are our two regular contact points right now.
Oh my goodness. And, you know, I saw an earlier comment, I think it was from Dr. Linda, who was on the channel a few weeks ago, suggesting that there be a couples podcast. So I'm just going to say I second that one. Okay. So if y'all want to continue to build this media empire that you have going, I strongly recommend.
We are having some broad conversations about some things, and we'll leave.
Okay, good.
Yeah. What I have committed to is not. Trust me, the visioning is there. Like, mm-hmm. I could get in there and do all the things. I battle exhaustion with the responsibilities I have now and trying to keep things balanced. Mm-hmm. And so I think the Move Abroad process, the temptation is to do more. I want to right size. Hey. Our engagement so that we can give quality, but also I know that there is a need, and the couple space, I really feel like we could do a lot of good work in that space. So yeah, let's get on a calendar, Davis. Yes, ma'am. Let's get on a calendar. And I see so many of our folk. I think there are a lot of people that we share, Krishan as well, that have come over to support. So I want to say Thank you to our folk that joined us earlier and then came back when we said we were going to be joining you and said we're not going to miss this opportunity.
Yeah, we can't go live no more this week. They're not going to listen to us no more this week. No one hears no more.
No, oh my God.
I say this all the time on our page, and I will say it here as well. It is an honor to be a part of community. This journey thus far has been far greater than I think Dee and I anticipated. When we started this, there'd be 2-3 people who popped in. And I think our first live, it was just the two of us. And so many people have been supportive of us as we've shared this journey and tried to grow in this community. And it's just an honor to be a part of this process. You know, I tell you all the time, Krishan, you have lit a fire. You've started a process that I highly respect. And we are honored that you would have us on in this broad space today, as much as we were when you came to our space. And we thank you.
Black couples,
mm-hmm.
Black married men moving abroad.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much more. I think I saw Jean in the chat as well. Like, we are, I love when we meet people and then we see them in the world. Y'all, I'm so, may there be many blessings to the Blacks at Global community.
Absolutely.
The try. Our ancestors have given us so much. Try.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to honor them. If not for yourself, honor them in that way. As you learn more,
do more.
You mm-hmm. can do so much more.
We need to look out for each other, whether we're in this space, whether we're out there in the world, we run into each other. Let's look out for each other. Let's take care of each other. That is relationship. Dig into knowing the people standing opposite your nose. Take a deep breath. You're not going to understand and agree with everybody, but you'll find sometimes you're fighting out of defensiveness and not out of difference. Stand in the gap with people and learn. And relationships, no matter the differences, can be better. Be it the person who lives in your house, the person you work with on your job, or the person who stands opposite you politically. We can make these work if we step in and are a little more patient with each other. So blessings on you all.
Ooh, that was a bar. Oh my gosh, thank you both for this awesome conversation. I am the better for it. I've got the warm and fuzzies. It's an honor to hold this space with you again, right? We did it first on your channel for Juneteenth. And for anyone who hadn't seen that video, I was a guest on H&D Abroad for an awesome conversation about, you know, how we got here. And so please go to their channel if you haven't already subscribed. Obviously, you can see they're an amazing couple. And I'm so excited about continuing to watch the journey unfold for you. I know that when you choose your destination country, you know, I know I'll be there in the comments all excited, and the rest of the Blacks at Global community as well. This has been so fantastic. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart, because like I said, there's been a lot going on the past couple weeks, and this conversation is giving me air. And so for that, I'm deeply, deeply grateful.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much, Krishan.
Thank you. And thank you all for watching, being active in the comments. Like I said, I will be live tomorrow with Our Black Utopia. And we will be talking all things moving to Portugal. So hopefully you can tune into that. And in the meantime, be well, stay safe, And I'll see you soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Blackseat Global Podcast. For more information on today's episode, be sure to visit our website at blackseatglobal.com. It's not only possible to live out your dreams unbothered and in full color, it is your birthright. Are you trying to sort out health plans, banking, VPN, and other connectivity for your move abroad? Well, have no fear. We've got you with the Move Abroad Starter Kit. Get yours today at blackseatglobal.com/resources. That's blackseatglobal.com/resources.